All right, we are live.
My experience with the police.
Yeah, I clicked on that. I don't even know. I forget he has the Tourette's thing, where he like moves his eyebrows up and down constantly. It's kind of funny. Lasagna Garfield? Did like very like high pitched and fast and desperate. Destiny speaks desperately, lugubriously.
I'm pretty sure, just from looking at how his comments look, I'm pretty sure he deletes comments.
Destiny?
No.
John Trump?
H3.
Ethan. I'm retarded. Sorry. Getting drilled again. Yo, Admiral, yo, it's a birthday stream. Man, I'm not used to eating stuff like cake. It's tasty, but I could just about vomit all over my penis. Yo, Mr. Kyle. Wait, I have a gift for you. Wait, yeah, what's that? I think I already look less retarded. I figured out my shampoo was bad and makes my hair go gobbledygook.
Figured it out.
Giggle. Uh-huh. Did some intense scientific experimenting. Shower with it, shower without it. Only a genius could find that one out. Alright.
only a genius. Only a computer scientist like you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know, it's very try-hard stuff nowadays with anything H3 does. I used to watch all the stuff in his main channel and second channel.
Yeah. Which was just a side effect of us actually wanting to watch Sam's content. But not knowing about it yet.
Yeah.
Thank you for the birthday wishes, Dan. Yeah, I still look like a 12-year-old. It's not good. I'm 16.
And his second channel was like a vlog channel. It was like better than a lot of the stuff in his main one. Because he started doing what he used to do, which is like watching prank videos and
expand dong a little bit there.
Instead of like finding some scammer and saying, yo, this guy's evil. He's like, evil.
This guy's scamming. Can't believe someone would do that on the internet.
There's this rule that you have to put it in the description when you're sponsored, but this guy didn't do it. He's like cheating kids out of money.
It's not entertaining, I don't care. So yeah, someone's a scumbag, yeah. Big surprise.
I don't know.
I don't know these people. Like, I just was thinking about this earlier. Like, why would I vote for people I don't know?
Why would I even... I don't know any of these people.
Or endorse them, or... You know, at least let me send them a DM on Twitter. Alright, this is an audio. I don't want to play this. You know,
what?
Sophie's birthday gift .mp3. What is this, Admiral? Is this gonna be a big wet fart? Cause then I would play it. So I love that. Feeling mighty lugubrious. It's a great birthday song. Yeah, that's what I was worried about. I told my mother I'd kill her if she sang me happy birthday.
crazy. I don't know. It's pretty crazy. He has a podcast now.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to be what he mostly does. How many people watch it?
A lot. Like 400,000. H3 After Dark. What? Huh? Leafy Band, Keemstar is suing us. Keemstar is suing us. Okay, whatever.
More. Why are people still talking forever about Keemstar? The eternal Keemstar.
He just never goes away. It's mm-hmm. surprising.
He's good at what he does. I can't ruin the surprise, but basically it's pretty good and full of maybe burps. Wink. Is it your birthday? Yeah.
Oh, it is your birthday. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Sophia.
What is this?
You said it like 20 minutes ago.
What is it? Should I read this out loud? Oh.
Oh, you can read it.
This night, I had a dream that me and my boyfriend were graduating high school together. And we were in this big theater for the graduation ceremony, and as soon as the lights went out for the ceremony to begin, Nick Fuentes showed up and started talking a bunch of S, and someone screamed, "Shut the F up, Nick Fuentes," and he just pulled the gun out and started shooting everyone. Perfect. So I'm dreaming about Nick Fuentes doing a school shooting on your school. That's pretty awesome.
Christina sent me that.
Yeah, I figured. That's a Christina dream right there, certified.
Yeah, let me check Keemstar. I feel like he's like... He was the first person to have a daughter. Ever.
Is Keemstar Jewish?
No.
Damn.
His name is Daniel Keem. He's like Arab.
Keem is not a last name. Is everyone Arabic then? Seems so. Everyone's Jewish or Arabic. Sucks. Whatever happened to white people, you know? Just me and my mods. Everyone in the chat is moderated. Yo Swam, he's too rich not to be Jewish. Well, is he rich?
I suppose he is.
I remember him having a big house or something. How did he get rich? Ads? Ads don't give you that much money.
Oh, it's really good. Look, watch.
I need to put this on the screen. Look. I don't say the N-word or anything. Trust me, it took some time to create such a masterpiece. It's 35 seconds long. I'm gonna listen to this later. I don't wanna listen to this on stream.
You remember when George Washington heard that 9/11, that the airplanes hit the World Trade Center?
Yeah, I remember that.
And he just sat there silent. You remember when George Washington heard that 9/11, that the airplanes hit the World Trade Center?
Yeah, I remember that.
And he just sat there silent. You remember when George Washington heard that 9/11, that the airplanes hit the World Trade Center? Yeah.
That there are planes hit the World Trade Center.
What?
I don't understand what he's saying here. This is sort of the point.
Re-listen to the beginning of the video.
Okay.
You remember when George Washington heard that?
George Washington. Oh.
Yeah, I remember when George sat there silently.
He knows something we don't. That's a Freudian slip right there.
Oh, man.
But we learned today that there was another terrorist attack on the World Trade Center that nobody heard about in 1993. Done by four guys named Muhammad. There's a lot of like terrorists and shooting things you don't hear about.
He's sort of like Keem is sort of like a boomer weirdo Gavin McInnes. Instead of punk, he was like a DJ. He was like in just DJ.
What did
DJ.
He call an N-word? Alex.
Yeah.
Why was he calling someone the N-word?
I don't know. It was like a forum thing. It was like a forum.
Stupid F and N-word.
From 1,000 years ago in a forum nobody knows about. What the f- From what he says here, dear Ace Racer Productions, since you won't box me, I challenge you to a dance off. I'll put $1 million on the line. So yeah, he has a lot of money, I'm sure.
Yeah, he does look like, if he wasn't Keemstar, he'd be doing, like, rather than Filipino boy swag, like, Arabic boy swag or something.
Yeah.
On Tumblr. If he was, like, 30 years younger. Taking pictures of himself shirtless. With a snapback backwards. That has been a known event for a long time. I never heard about it. And they talked about 9/11 multiple times in school. Because never forget or whatever. Like, we were all born, like, 2004, 2005. Never heard about it. Or it didn't happen in our lifetimes. But they're telling us about it all the time.
Like the bird dude from the Flash Gordon movie? Ooh. I don't watch movies.
Yeah.
You guys see Fox crapping their pants when Newt Gingrich mentioned George Soros? No, Kevin. Where did you even see that?
Yeah. Do they care if people know about Soros? Does it change anything? Just makes you realize Chapo Trap House actually doesn't have anybody watching it.
Yeah, I remember. I remember when Jacksepticeye sat there silently for a while. The planes hit the trees.
Yeah, remember when Jacksepticeye flew the planes into the Twin Towers?
Yeah, I remember that. That was crazy. Yeah. You remember when Markiplier?
Yeah, Markiplier and Jacksepticeye. Yeah, you drove a van with bombs into Oklahoma City. Or whatever that was. I don't know. What happened?
I think he mail bomb. I think that was how he did it.
How do you do a mail bomb even?
Put a bomb in a box, have them delivered to the place when you know that it's delivered, you explode it. Ban Soros talking Fox, I don't care. I'm just thinking about Jacksepticeye right now.
Yeah.
Remember when Jacksepticeye killed Lincoln?
And ran away.
Remember when Jacksepticeye killed Rockwell. The president of the American Nazi Party? Yeah, I remember that. Remember when Jacksepticeye killed Elijah Muhammad? Yo, Wallace Fard. I always go back to him.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Wallace Fard.
Who was not a black dude.
What a terrifying prostate. A Jew started in NOI and then disappeared. Nation of Islam. That's sort of, but they went anti-Semitic, so I guess it backfired. Fard. That's trolling. You're trolling me right now. Specifically me.
black Muslim founder exposed as a white.
Yes.
White man is God for cult of Islam. Yeah, that's crazy. Eli Muhammad's Allah is Turkish ex-agent for Hitler. Yo.
I didn't hear about that part.
Is Wallace Fard the guy from Nazi Germany that was mentioned earlier?
Huh? The Jewish doctor who killed Hitler?
Because I'm seeing stuff here. So it was like, what? 1959. It would make sense. Because he came around while he was doing that. And he reportedly...
Yo, auto zoom on? I can't enable it?
Turkish.
Yourself.
I recall having a nightmare about George Soros being a demon that was going to kill me with a tornado. I never dream about that sort of thing. It's pretty lame. The blue-eyed devil white man.
A crazy dream gang over here.
I think it's a women thing. Men do, like, conscious symbolic processing.
Women do unconscious symbolic processing. The tornado. Does that refer to, weather control? What's up with that? Because I never was able to get anywhere with that. Researching that. That they can control the weather.
They really misquote Dostoevsky a lot. Have you noticed that?
They're quoting Dostoevsky? I never saw that.
No. Not Nation of Islam. Just in general. People misquote Dostoevsky a lot.
Yeah, I never saw anyone quote Dostoevsky.
I'm looking up stuff right now. And I'm seeing really... Like, they quote Ivan and say it was Dostoevsky. Even though it was a character. It's like saying Rick Riordan said, yeah, I'm the son of Poseidon. My name is Percy Jackson.
I can't believe you remember the author name.
Of course I do. He looked really gay. That's what I remember about him.
But I remember reading that. It was like, wasn't it like Rick Riordan? It was like Demigod Summer Camp or something like that. Was basically what? The premise.
Yeah.
Dang, he does look gay. Mr. Shiny Cheeks. Oh, I remember a Lightning Thief cover.
Of course you do.
How many books is there in this?
A lot. I mean, in the original Percy Jackson, there's 5.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Nordic one right now. That might be sort of crazy. Jeez. Wonder if they're racist.
But here's the thing. Like, at least in my school, all the atheist smart kids were in Latin class so they could do mythology stuff. And that makes me wary. Because I was in Latin class and all these kids already know the names of all the gods or whatever, the pantheon, and I'm like, what? Aren't you guys, like, the smartest kids and atheists and everything? It's like 9 kids in the class. Thanks for the birthday wishes. For some reason, I've recently been having a constant urge to say the N-word. I have that urge at least once a day. I think that's normal. Too powerful. I think it's because they read all the Percy Jackson stuff. I guess kids can't really be, like, fully commit to the rational atheist thing.
I don't know. When I started, like, when I was into Percy Jackson, it was like a thing for weird kids. It wasn't necessarily atheists. Just, if you're weird, you can be anything.
You're not. Well, that's my inference. The kids who read that will know mythology and will become atheists when they're older. Like, in a more expressed way.
They like, listen to different music. They listen to music with guitars from 20 years ago.
But it's specifically all the kids who are, like, who got the best grades and care the most about their grades.
Mm, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He's Mexican? No, he's not Mexican. Whatever. What was I saying before?
Percy Jackson? No, we were talking about Farid Muhammad, how he might be that Jew who killed Percy Hitler. Percy Jackson? Yeah, Percy Jackson was a Jew who killed Hitler.
Yeah, I bet in 100 years that's how we'll remember history. Hitler didn't kill himself. He got murdered by a Jew.
Well, because we were already skeptical of Hitler killing himself. Like, we already went over how that makes zero sense in another stream.
Very detailedly.
Yeah.
Very weird how that went.
A very hilarious way. What was it like? So he shot himself in the anus and then farted. He
shot himself in the forehead with the 22.
Yeah.
With a varmint rifle from Fallout New Vegas. That had a blank in it.
Yeah, he shot all his teeth out.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know.
He just shot all his teeth out.
He had dentures that he had to wear to survive. Something like that. And then he took him out to kill himself.
He took him out to kill himself, and 40 years later, a guy remembered them by heart.
Yeah, I remembered exactly what they looked like. Every crevice, every little crunchy bee.
Every little crunching nanny.
Crunching nanny. I don't know.
Crunching igger. Every little igger in your teeth.
Mm-hmm. That's a good name for it, actually. Crunch and igger.
Farid Muhammad. His name's Farid, man.
I already proved that Hitler killed himself, so shut up. No! We disproved you by like 1,000,000,000%. Because none of it made sense. They have his teeth and nobody's allowed to see him. They destroyed everything. Keeping him in Russia. They DNA tested it and it's the DNA of a woman.
Yeah.
Guess Hitler was a tranny. Well, that's the hypothesis, which it probably is. He had no penis, two balls, 1,000,000,000 vaginas.
One penis, two balls. Yeah, the very unusual configuration of genitals. One penis and two balls.
I said no penis, so it'd be funnier. He cut his penis off to use it as a bong for crack.
He sold his penis for crack. What? I don't remember that part of the Mein Kampf.
Oh, man, pickups. I'm gonna freaking have an abortion.
Okay, what did you say?
He's cut off his penis to use it as a crack bong.
Hell yeah, I understood that he sold his penis for crack.
It's actually what I read in Mein Kampf.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Yeah, I read Mein Kampf.
Wallace Ford. It's really, really hard to find the documents on this guy for some reason.
Ow! My nuts.
W.D. Fard? Wait, W.D. Gaster. I don't know where I was going.
What was that? WD-40.
Whoa, what?
That's where you're going.
Oh my god.
Hold up.
I
Who's
cannot.
WD Gaster.
That's the guy from Undertale. Can you stop?
That was the Undertale guy. That was pretty sexy.
Okay. Wow. D-Fard. Okay, so his name is. Okay, so
he had 16 different
dude.
Names.
Yeah, he told a black dude his name was WD-40.
This is confusing.
And the black guy was like, whoa, that's crazy. You God?
This guy, Wallace Fard Muhammad, he's the starter of the Nation of Islam. He looks like a Jewish guy. And he had, like, no real identity. He told everybody, a different name from everybody else. And he had, like, two wives, and neither of them knew where he actually was born. And then one day he just disappeared. like without a trace, and the FBI couldn't find him. And so the Nation of Islam guys said, oh yeah, he ascended to God or to the moon or something like that. And he'll never come back because he's God.
Yeah, something like that. But it's really weird how like a black dude asked a Jewish guy who he was, and then that Jewish guy said, oh, my name is WD-40. And then the black guy said, whoa, are you God? Can I worship you, dude? That's what happened. That's how the Nation of Islam started.
Ow, my penis. Sorry. Dang, that almost worked. I'm going to have to stand up and do this. It doesn't work if you sit down. All right, hold up. Oh, man. Is that the black cube?
Yep.
It's like, who made this?
WD-4.
Yeah, WD-Ford.
Ford.
Oh yeah, he went by Ford, then Fard. Just because he could.
When he was WD, he was Ford. And then when he became the Wallace Fard Muhammad, when he added the Muhammad, he became Fard. So that he sounded less American. Before it was Wallace Dodd Ford, then he became Wallace Fard Muhammad. Although Fard, if you're gonna change your name, why not just go all out? Why would you? Whatever. Just call yourself like Elijah, Beluja, Israel, Sarkeesian.
Sarkeesian? I think it worked.
Frick. Call yourself Frick. Frick fart.
This works, Google, actually. You're supposed to, like, Google stand fart on your tippy toes and drink something and stay very still. But I think this works as well. I don't know why it works. This is my mother's secret Soviet Union trick.
Master Fard Muhammad and Wallace Dodd Ford aren't the same person.
What? No, they are. That was confirmed. Wallace Fard Muhammad. So do they know the... So where was the, where do we get the Jewish doctor that killed Hitler from?
They killed Hitler? No, he didn't kill Hitler.
What?
No, I never said anything about killing Hitler.
Yes, you did. You totally did.
I didn't do that. That was you.
Are you joking me right now?
I'm not. I'm
okay,
serious.
So what did he do?
I think he came up with the hypnotic codes for making children assassins and gay.
Hmm. Master Fard. That was such a... They could have gone with Wallace or Muhammad. They chose Fard. Master Fard.
Oh, they call him Farad. That's how they say Fard. No, dude, your name is Fard. Sorry.
Taught Islam to the black population. So, I know around this time it was when the Soviet Union was plotting to use the black population of the United States to start a revolution. Was this like one of the experiments?
They say this is a real picture of Fard Muhammad, but he still doesn't look like a black dude.
Yeah, he's definitely not black. Like, you might convince me of him being Asian almost.
Yeah, you'd convince me of Asian ancestry before that.
In office, 1930 to 1934. Okay, when did he come? Okay, from 1930 to 1934. That does, because they started, the Soviet Union started doing that in the 1920s. I think. Might be the 1940s. I don't know. That's in the School of Darkness book, though. Might have been 1940s, actually. That sounds more likely.
Well, yeah, it's around 1950s, 1960s that they started doing that stuff. The satanic abuse ritual.
Okay, in the early stages of his ministries, Farid used the Bible as his textbook, since it was the only religious book with which the majority of his hearers were familiar. With growing prestige over a constantly increasing group, Farid became bolder in his denunciation of the Caucasians and began to attack the teachings of the Bible in such a way as to shock his hearers and bring them to an emotional crisis. Why? Yeah, use the Bible to attack it and attack white people. Nice. I like that. That's sexy. The Quran was soon introduced as the most authoritative of all texts for the study of the faith. Farid prepared texts that served as authoritative manuals of the faith and were memorized verbatim by his followers. Does Nation of Islam have any books of their own? A short Farid. I like that. That's sexy. Publications. That would be a good place to go. A message to the black man in America. Stop eating watermelon! Do they have religious books, though? Not just, you know...
Is that hell for a black? For the Nation of Islam? Is the Nation of Islam hell just like, no watermelons no more?
Yeah, everything's a pool and you don't get any watermelon. That's intensely good and funny.
No watermelon.
Yeah, no watermelon, guys. Come on, cut it out.
Come on, guys, cut it out.
Yeah, that's actually it's just being in school. Although that'd be hell for me too. So I guess that's not a black people thing. Wallace Fard Muhammad, W.D. Fard Muhammad. We gotta collect all the names here. Wallace Muhammad.
Mecca born. Okay, he was born in Mecca, supposedly. Wali Farad. Farad Muhammad. F. Muhammad Ali. Or Wallace Farad Muhammad. Farad preached that blacks were not to be called Negroes. Dude, that means the same thing.
Yeah, it means black.
Yeah.
Dang, this is Nation of Islam, guys? Why are they all wearing the same goober glasses?
Must be. Yo, that's funny.
One guy's screaming in the back.
Is that they all go to a store called Goober Glasses and all buy the same glass?
That's actually pretty awesome. They're wearing like tuxedos and Goober Glasses. I like the guy in the farthest right.
Like butterfly ties.
Hmm.
Yeah, he looks a bit chubbickled with the whole appointment.
He's doing the disgust fart face. Disgusted at a fart face. Distinct face.
Warith Dean. I'll say another name for him. Warith Dean Muhammad. I forgot there was a cat on my desk.
Yo, this is okay. So this is where the black man invented the white man or something came from. It was Fard.
Yeah, it was Fard.
Wallace Fard Muhammad taught that the original peoples of the world were black and that white people were a race of devils created by a scientist named Yaqub, the biblical and Quranic Jacob, on the Greek island of Patmos. According to the Supreme Wisdom Lessons, oh what?
Okay, so they're saying, they're implying that Jacob was evil, so Esau is good. But don't they say that Esau had red skin, and like supposedly white? Doesn't that make them white?
I don't know what the official thing is.
Is Jacob his brother's dad? What? Inventor, rather?
According to the Supreme Wisdom Lessons, Fard taught that whites were devils because of a culture of lies and murder that Yaqub instituted on the island to ensure the creation of his new people.
Okay, I found an interesting site.
So Jacob is Israel.
Mm-hmm. And Israel is white people.
And Israel is like, you know, the whole where all the people came from, basically. So I guess the implication is that the people of Israel are the devils, but they're white, but they're Jews. But what? Fard taught that Yaqub established a secret eugenics policy among the ruling class on the island. Okay,
so he, black Israelites think that whites are descendants of Esau. Nation of Islam believe that they're descendants of Esau, and they think that's good. They think that Jacob and his descendants...
Wait, so they're different?
Evil and whites.
Black Israelites different. And Nation of Islam? Huh.
They're different. That's why I got confused. Essential site.
Ew. Hold up. The Nation of Islam movement is Jewish, white death of Islam. By now, most of you are well aware about the Jews and how they use and manipulate the races, namely the non-whites, to further their hell-bent agenda of exterminating the white race. High Priest Majson has mentioned many times before that the Nation of Islam was founded by a Jew. High Priest Majson? Who's that?
Keep reading, it's good.
I know many of you, especially the black here, know of someone who follows this so-called religious movement, as it is prevalent in many black communities and is the focus of a few rap and hip-hop artists. The Nation of Islam is based upon the belief that whites are the devil and the source of all evil in the world, and that the white race was created by an evil mad scientist named Yaqub to rule over this blacks for 6,000 years. Isn't that the same time period for the Jewish prophet to come?
Yeah, it's all based on the Old Testament, so the numbers are the same.
Okay, and after this time, the blacks will destroy the whites and cleanse the earth of them. As sick as it sounds, it's not surprising when you realize that this effed up movement was indeed created by a Jew. The true identity of this Jew, who went by the name Wallace D. Fard, is unknown. According to police transcripts, he was known as a con man and even admitted that the whole Nation of Islam movement was a lie from the start and that he was in it to make all the money that he could, and from FBI files. He went by 58. Wow, different aliases. Dang, that is prolifically retarded. And was arrested for many crimes, including the selling of narcotics and the promotion of human sacrifice to his followers. The founder of the Nation of Islam lied about his race. This is anti-Nazi site that mixes white Nazism with Jewish communism. Just place Jew instead of Nazi and you have the truth. Check this out. Okay, I can't get to it.
Oh, it doesn't load?
Mm.
Dang. Okay.
All face features of racial Jew, rat face, protruding rat ears, duck nose, huge little lip, yeah. The only photos that exist is the founder of the Nation of Islam, and I can't click on them. It's nice.
They're the ones we've already seen.
Yeah.
He had used 58 aliases, according to the FBI. The FBI in the 1950s launched an investigation into his biography and his results. They found that he had filed in the U.S. Census of 1920 that he was white, and his place of birth was New Zealand. Furthermore, Fard listed his son's birth certificate that he was white. From Wikipedia, a marriage certificate dated June 5, 1924, was issued to Wally Dodd Ford and Carmen Frevino, or Trevino, in Orange County, California. Ford reported that he was a cook, age 26, born in Oregon, but living in Los Angeles. He reported he was of Spanish race. His parents' names are given as Zeradad Ford of Madrid, Spain, presumably Madrid, Spain, and Babji. The FBI tracked down his wife.
Madrid.
Span.
Madrid, comma, Span.
Wow, retarded Jew.
Retarded. Retard.
The FBI tracked down his wife, who claimed that she was still in contact with Fard in his homeland in New Zealand. Fard left the United States after a number of run-ins with the cops, including over charges of bootlegging and narcotics. Notably, mug shots and arrest photos are the only photos to exist of him. This doesn't surprise me with Jews. They infiltrate and seek out to pervert and destroy white while profiting off of his Gentiles. What better way? Okay. Fard had an East Indian appearance and was a dapper dresser with perfect white teeth and dark eyes. He told the followers he was born in the holy city of Mecca, which is obviously a lie.
So this is three different locations he's stating now.
And his light-skinned appearance, courtesy of his Russian Jewish mother, was preordained so that he could more easily mix with white people. Dang! He claimed to have attended Oxford and the University of California. And that he just lied. Obvious lies. Obvious lies. And then who's born in Mecca? And then to have begun training
and then come
as a
to America and then go to Oxford. Yeah.
Diplomat for the kingdom of Hejaz. Why wouldn't he be like the king of the world? Why wouldn't he be like rich if he came to America and went to Oxford? Why wouldn't his family be like really rich?
Mm-hmm.
Not bored of Saudi Arabia. He was drawn to return to the United States in order to liberate the African Americans from their half-slave and half-free condition. He arrived in Detroit's Paradise Valley on July 4th, 1930 in order to achieve his goal. Fard worked the streets as a silk peddler, but his real sales pitches were religious beliefs and dietary restrictions. He gained a reputation as a healer when his customers, after having adhered to the pork-free diet that Fard espoused, began noticing improvements in their health. His main goal, he often stated, was to bring salvation to African Americans, whom he often referred to as his lost uncle in the wilderness of North America?
What? Okay, I'll continue reading. Fard taught that approximately 6,000 years ago, a black scientist named Yacoub conducted gene manipulation experiments that resulted in the creation of the inferior white race. Okay, so the implication here is that Jacob was a black man.
Yeah, Jacob was a black dude, but his descendants weren't.
Okay. Their tainted, weakened blood was to blame for the white race's immorality, which they frequently used to keep the black race in a perpetual state of half-freedom. His concept attracted hundreds of followers to the Allah Temple of Islam, as he called his group. Fard's demise as the leader of the temple was brought upon him when, on Thanksgiving Day in 1932, one of his followers, Robert Harris, renamed Robert Kariam, committed a human sacrifice in order to bring himself closer to Allah. Kareem cited a quotation from a book called Secret Rituals of the Lost Found Nation of Islam, authored by Wallace D. Fard Muhammad. That's nice. Which read, "The believer must be stabbed through the heart. This quote, as well as another stating, "Every son of Islam must gain a victory from a devil, four victories and the son will attain his reward," convinced the Detroit Police Department, motivated in part by the anti-Muslim hysteria fueled by media coverage of the event, to seek out Farid in conjunction with the murder. Okay, so he wrote a book called Secret Rituals of the Lost Found Nation of Islam.
Does anyone have that book?
Yeah, does anyone have that book? There was news on this? How come we never hear about this? There's nothing in the Wikipedia about the human sacrifice?
The Supreme Wisdom Lessons by Master. Oh, okay, I found something like that. I don't think it is. Master Farid Muhammad. Lost Found Nation. Okay, so they really believe Farid is God.
He was a short, dapper, light-skinned man who went door-to-door selling clothing and cloth that he asserted were what people wore in Africa. But what he liked to talk about most were religion and the benefits of an abstemious, pork and alcohol-free diet. He claimed that he had been born in the holy city of Mecca to a black father named Alfonso and a Russian Jewish mother from the Caucasus named Baby G.
I cannot believe this.
I can't believe this. God. I cannot believe this. Wait. I just...
What's the name I saw here?
Baby Gee?
Bab Gee? Okay, so he said his dad before his name was Zeradad of Madrid, Spain. And his mom was Bab Gee, not Baby Gee.
This is not a name here, Baby G.
Dude, this guy was trolling a bunch of black people.
Yeah, Alfonso and Baby G, those are my parents. Yeah,
my dad's black, his name is Alfonso, and my mom's, she's a Russian Jewish woman called Baby G, and black people believed him. Can you even comprehend that? What? Oh? Roro? He carried with him a copy of the Bible and the Quran and recommended, despite the providence of his mother, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion?
Huh? Where's that? Okay, yeah. He carried with him a copy of the Bible and the Quran and recommended, despite the providence of his mother, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. How would you even get that back then?
40?
This was in the 1930s. 1930 to 1934.
Individual growing coterie of adherents. Master Wallace Farid Muhammad, as he then preferred to be called, had come into his ministry at just the right time. A period of both intense disillusionment and radical religious departure within the black community. In the years between the world wars, American blacks had begun to turn charismatic self-proclaimed messiahs such as Father Divine, Sweet Daddy Grace, and Mother Horn.
Sweet Daddy Grace. You're kidding, right?
Saw the advent of Marcus Garvey's largely political, while semi-mystical black nationalist Back to Africa movement. Thousands more looked to a proliferation of new, often quasi-Islamic faiths, including Noble Drew Ali, Moorish Science Temple of America.
Okay, look at what that
so
is.
So this guy was religious trolling.
Yeah. Seems a lot of people were religious trolling.
Well, yeah, his father's breasts and all.
Yeah.
They'll just do anything they can. Oh, they were just
He claimed to be white, then Spanish, then black. / Jewish.
They have Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay, so these guys, they included... Okay, I'm seeing a Native American here and a couple of whites. Moorish Science Temple. Moorish Science? Science. Drew Ali? Oh yeah, it was a black guy.
The Moors wore beards and red fezes, considered Noble Ali a prophet, and recited a catechism that taught that African Americans were in fact Asians, descended from the Old Testament's Moabites.
Whoa.
Fard, the salesman, took up this last belief and invented his own densely detailed theology of the knowledge of self and others.
Okay, his... Okay, so his mom was Cherokee and his dad was Muslim, from Morocco. So I guess like a Arab black guy?
Allah, Fard taught, had evolved from a spinning atom some 76 trillion years ago. He was the original man, and his descendants, all of the black people of the earth, were the original people. They had lived in peace and harmony for eons, their future foreseen by a council of imams, brilliant clairvoyant scientist priests who had mastered a far more advanced technology than anything we have today. This sounds like the stuff on Stolen History.
Yeah.
Which is that things used to be way more advanced technology. So it's just black people stuff.
5% nation. What do they call them? Oh yeah, nations of gods and earths. Okay, so black people, black men are gods, and black women are earths. And when gods when God communes with earth, church occurs. That's the child. It's church. That's what they call children. I know about this because I used to listen to, what's her name? That woman, Erykah Badu.
Ah.
She uses that in terminology.
Okay, every garden has its snake, and in this Eden, it was a particularly brilliant and arrogant scientist known as Dr. Yacoub, the big head scientist. Dr. Yacoub and his followers invented white people through thousands of years of diabolical experiments, which included the systematic clandestine murder of millions of black infants. White people lived in caves in Europe where they fornicated with the animals and dressed in their skins. They were a pathetic, vicious race and the source of every modern disease. In the end, the whites were able to turn the tables and take over the world through the science of trichnology. Yo! The millions of Africans, or East Asians, they transported in the Atlantic slave trade had become slavish imitations of their white masters. Yeah, but if they were so dumb, how did they even, like, take over the technology of the smart black man? But Fard had come to wake them up. The time of the white man was rapidly drawing to a close, and very soon his dominion would be overturned in a vast apocalyptic reckoning.
What the... Okay, so it is a part of the doctrine that Wallace Fard Muhammad is the true and living God. So he's their Jesus.
Aight then.
A Jewish con man. Man, this is what happens when Jews meet blacks. They troll them so bad, black people are forever confused.
Yeah. Man.
The black man of Asia. What the? The Fudgebacker.
Fard seemed to have come to the Fudgebacker. Okay, is there the book here?
Eating a plate of noble Drualis. Okay, so he heard noble Drualis talking about how black people were actually gods and whatever else. He struck out on his own after Drualis, formerly a New Jersey trainman named Timothy Drew, expired from tuberculosis. And his remaining followers refused to acknowledge Fard Muhammad as his reincarnation. But where had Fard come before that? Just who was his was this exotic little man, and was he even black? With a reasonable degree of certainty, that Fard was born Wali Dad Fard in 1891, not in Mecca, but in New Zealand. Okay, so the New Zealand part is real.
It is?
So an Anglo mother and a father from the Urdu-speaking region of what is now Pakistan? Actually, I'm not sure. I don't know who figured
this
out.
How would a Pakistan guy get to New Zealand in in the 1900s? They're just going to New Zealand?
He had emigrated to the West Coast where he lived a peripatetic existence. 1926, Fard was arrested for running a small bootlegging morphine trafficking operation with a Chinese-American partner named Eddie Donaldson. This is the weirdest story of all time.
Yeah.
A Chinese-American dude named Eddie Donaldson. He sounds whiter than white people.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds whiter than Germans, Eddie Donaldson. After serving, and he was bootlegging with him. Let me look his face up.
Bootlegging and morphine trafficking. Chinese American partner. What the?
After serving almost 3 years in San Quentin, he departed for Chicago, where he found a job as a traveling medical supply salesman. And he hooked up with Noble Joelle's Moors. The Moors wore beards and red fezzes. Yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Fard. Had evolved from a spinning Adam.
Yeah,
okay.
I read this one. It's crazy.
Spinning Adam? What? Who would even hear that and believe it? Oh, it's so confusing. Must be true. Every garden has its snake, and in this Eden, it was a particularly brilliant and arrogant scientist.
I'm up to the secret rituals part. Hold on.
White people lived in caves in Europe where they fornicated with animals and dressed in their skins. A pathetic, vicious race and the source of every modern disease. Stroke.
What the? Okay.
Okay, so Elijah Poole is Elijah Muhammad.
Turning to a pair of Japanese agents in the early 1930s, a Baron Satokata Takahashi from the Japanese Army's or Black Dragon Society. Entered the country with the express purpose of turning Black Americans into a pro-Japanese fifth column. What? Tell me, Japanese guys were coming in? What's a fifth column?
Elijah Muhammad was pressing Fard to admit that he was the Messiah, the incarnation of God on Earth. Like most messiahs, Fard cagily hedged and hinted before finally admitting it. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on, I'm not. Come on, dude. Come on, I'm not. Okay, I am. Whatever. Like, don't tell anybody. I'm, like, embarrassed. Yeah, I believe that's how he did
Are
it.
Are you, Jesus?
There's a form of
I don't know. I wasn't gonna tell you until later.
I was gonna tell you later, like, when I died, it was, like, the whole thing. I would come back to life in a second.
Okay, operating brazenly at least a dozen American cities, Takahashi and Takis. You tell me this guy's last name was Takis? Ashima Takis. Promised power and other rewards to African Americans who would help Japan in the war to come, and even suggested that they could do their bit by beginning to kill whites immediately. Ludicrous as their efforts may sound today, they seem to have inspired at least one killing spree by a deranged Filipino in Seattle, and they easily established themselves as the most rhetorically militant Black nationalists extant. According to the ONI, Fard and Baron Takahashi met on several occasions, and the Japanese reportedly offered Fard money if he would become Takahashi's chief minister. Fard apparently demurred. Fard apparently demurred, but the writing was clearly on the wall. Fard would have to at least talk a bigger game if he was to keep his congregation. By 1932, accordingly, Fard had begun teaching, so he's trying to keep the Black people around. They might go to the Japanese. It's not, you know, on his feet. Fard had begun teaching the history of the end of the world, which emphasized the imminent destruction of the white race to be brought about by the mothership or the mother plane, an airship half a mile by half a mile in size that had been mistakenly described in the Bible as Ezekiel's wheel. Yeah, they did a mistake in the Bible. More pertinent, it seems that Fard's mother plane had been built in Japan by our Asiatic brothers under his supervision.
What?
Soon the faithful at the Allah Temple of Islam were being given a new book, Secret Rituals of the Lost Foundation of Islam, in which Fard seemed to call, in barely coded words, for every true believer to kill at least four white devils.
A deranged Filipino? A deranged Filipino.
Yeah, went on a killing spree, I guess, in Seattle.
Okay. Okay. These machinations. Okay. Deranged Black resident. Initiate a neighbor into the sacrificing. Voodoo cult. Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. Crazy religion. Okay.
Wait, none of this is on the Wikipedia, by the way. But the predominantly Christian African American community of Detroit felt shamed and embarrassed by the ongoing revelations about Fard's cult. The police investigation turned up Fard's secret rituals, and the master was quickly arrested. A series of tumultuous trials and subsequent investigations over the next 3 years found that the 400 school children in the temple's University of Islam were being taught courses with names such as General Knowledge of Spook, parentheses, White Civilization. And instructed that they would win a button with Allah's picture on it and a trip to Mecca if they too were able to cut off the heads of four devils.
Oh, so it's like
why isn't
Israel
any
thing.
Of this on the Wikipedia? There's news going on about this. They have school children. Never heard about any of that. Seems strange.
The full force of official Detroit landed on the temple. That known members were cut from the welfare rolls, harassed on the, that's how you hurt black people, you take them off welfare. Harassed on the streets by police and arrested at their workplace. Black ministers and community leaders loudly denounced the cult. Elijah, for one, refused to back down, leading hundreds of loyal followers to the courthouse in processions that stunned Detroit's white police force. Altercations broke out in the courtroom, and Elijah himself was briefly arrested, although he remained an adamant defender of the faith. At far, it seemed oddly quiescent for a man who had just been coolly plotting the demise of the white race. Remanded to the psychopathic ward of the Detroit's receiving hospital after his arrest, he claimed that his followers had misunderstood his teachings and meekly prompts the judge to disband the Allah Temple of Islam and leave Detroit forever. On December 7, 1932, two detectives escorted him to the Chicago train, but he was back within a month, changing the name of the Allah Temple of Islam to the Nation of Islam, handing down new names to his followers and instructing them to discard their distinctive red fezes. Yo, this is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This subterfuge had no chance to succeed in a community as insular as a Black Bottom. Black Bottom? Your name. Fard had been arrested again. Now he allegedly confessed to his police interrogators.
He loves the
all
names.
Of his...
so much.
Yeah, he has a lot of fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
Interrogators that all of his teachings at the nations of and the Nation of Islam were a racket, and that his and at this time he would really leave the city for good. A few days later, he drove away in a sleek black Ford automobile, perhaps a Fard automobile, after telling the weeping faithful, "Don't worry,
Fard automobile.
Don't worry, I am with you. I will be with you in the near future to lead you out of this hell." Turning to his first lieutenant, he added, "Tell them, Elijah, I love them." And then he drove away in a really expensive car with all their money.
Yes.
Oh, this is great. There is no documented report that anyone ever saw Wallace Fard Muhammad again, which is where the real mystery begins. He may have snuck back into Detroit several more times through the early months of 1934. And Elijah claimed that he traveled to Chicago on other occasions to meet with the master and to learn his wishes. Elijah, wow, he just conned this guy so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Elijah. Elijah Muhammad told the congregation back in Detroit that he was to be known as Elijah Muhammad, God manifest, and Fard's anointed successor. In Fard's name, you really don't hear about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
In Fard's name, he preached the imminent end of the world and support for his Japanese brothers with renewed vigor. Support for his Japanese brothers.
This is why black people like anime so much.
All this simply brought the police and the social workers down on the heads of the nation again and increasingly alienated rank-and-file Muslims. Elijah's descriptions of what had happened to Fard were often vague and contradictory and led to growing rumors of skullduggery. Soon, Elijah counted three-quarters of the Detroit Muslims as hypocrites, i.e. his enemies. In 1935, he was forced to take to the road in fear of his life. The next several years were spent in the lonely Hegira, taking refuge in any of the small ancillary communities of the Nation of Islam that still supported this claim. But what happened to Fard? FBI agents managed to turn up his ex-wife Hazel, who told them that Fard had returned to visit her and their son in Los Angeles. So this guy has a son who's probably already dead, but has a son. Sometime in 1934, but that he had left again after a month, saying that he intended to return to New Zealand. Evans points out that the month of his departure was the same month his old partner Eddie Donaldson was released from San Quentin. Wow.
Back to the morphine, I guess.
Yeah, back to the morphine. He must have really liked this Chinese guy. He probably made a lot of money with him, too. Other reports put Fard and Gary, Indonesia. Indonesia or India?
No, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Indonesia!
I don't know, this guy was everywhere.
Yeah.
In 1940, at the head of another quasi-Islamic organization, None of these reports have been objectively confirmed. One would have to have actually been at that last meeting between Fard and Elijah to gain a sense of what Fard's intentions were and what his departure port ended. Did Elijah evince any resentment over the renunciation of the faith that the Detroit police purportedly extracted from his old master? Did Fard actually make him his successor? Did Fard achieve that greatest feat of any messiah and make a clean getaway? Or was there, in fact, the foul play involved that so many of Elijah's rivals suspected? Answers would give one considerable insight into the mind and personality of Elijah Muhammad, the man who would continue to run the Nation of Islam as his personal fiefdom until his death in 1975. Above all, they would tell one so much about the pathology that dogged the Nation of Islam almost from its inception, the legacy of violence that would claim not only the life of its greatest leader, Malcolm X, but also continue with the massacres of hypocrites, both for the crime of defying Elijah well into the 1970s. To have been there at the end of the beginning, to see Master Fard fly away with airplane or without, would have been a chance to glimpse not only into a religious mystery, but also into the proud contorted rejection as heart of black nationalism itself. This is the craziest story ever.
Yeah.
This is the craziest story never told. Can somebody make a documentary about this? Can we?
Yeah, Wallace Fard. Someone needs to do it, and it's not gonna be anybody else. I was trying to find the Secret Rituals book, though. That's how we got there. Hold up. Abe Books. The Supreme Wisdom Lessons by Master Fard Muhammad to his servant, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, for the Lost Foundation of Islam in North America. And why did people have such long book titles before? Long kept as a secret and sacred text, the Supreme Wisdom by Master Fard Muhammad is actually the compilation of two texts that form the foundations of the Nation of Islam. Secret Ritual of the Nation of Islam and Lessons for the Lost Foundation of Islam in a Mathematical Way. These texts formed from the divine questions of Master Fard Muhammad and answered by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad reflect the brilliance of a mind familiar with Judaism, Christianity, Sunni, Sufi, and Ahmadiyya Islam. Masonry? The writings of the Jehovah's Witnesses. The writings
wait.
They just snuck masonry in there.
Well, okay, wait. I just found where that most of the stuff we just read came from another article at the Metro Times. Where it says, oh, Zared Fard. It was his dad, apparently.
Zared Fard.
And his mother was actually Beatrice, not Baby Gee or Bab Gee.
What is going on with Baby Gee? That's my mom's name.
Okay, Black Muslims.
That is so unexplainable.
C.E. Lincoln, author of The Black Muslims in America, said that Fard was the black Jamaican son of a Syrian Muslim.
Okay, that's another like the fifth lie. Fard
is Palestinian. Yeah, it's like nobody knows what this guy was.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just invented stuff. Well, I guess he lied to everybody, so they probably were all confused and killing each other about it.
Includes supreme mathematics. What are supreme mathematics? This book is $50. Should I buy it?
Probably not.
Supreme Wisdom. I gotta find. There would not be a PDF. I wish. There?
Yo, I bet Eddie Donaldson has the craziest stories of all time to tell. Because imagine being that guy's friend who's
Chinese American
morphine. He's just hearing this
doing
guy
morphine and
stories.
Bootlegging.
Yeah, I just came back from telling a bunch of black people I was God and they believed me.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot more money to buy materials to make morphine with.
Why is this on Columbia site? Wallace D. Fard's origins are somewhat mysterious, though it seems likely that he was previously involved with both Marcus Garvey's Universal Negro Improvement Association and Drew Ali's Moorish Science Temple. Fard claimed to be of the lineage of the Prophet Muhammad, and in some circles is regarded as the physical manifestation of Allah, is universally regarded as the founder of the Nation of Islam. Fard authored two manuals, The Secret Ritual of the Nation of Islam and The Coded Teaching for a Lost Foundation of Islam in a Mathematical Way, which only a few people are able to decipher.
Muhammad was full-blood Jew. Huh?
Art mysteriously disappeared in 93. Okay, but do you guys have the manuals? Do you guys have the actual books?
Okay, what was... Okay, Isaac's brother, what was his name?
Isaac's brother?
Yeah.
Isaac didn't have a brother.
He didn't have a brother?
Of note, at least. I mean, he probably did have one because there was no only children, but, like, I don't think his brother did anything, right?
Ishmael. Abdul Matal Muhammad. Oh, so apparently Muhammad didn't have a foreskin, and he said he was born without it to avoid him being noticed as a Jew. That's interesting.
Right, because, wasn't it in the 500s or something? When did Islam start? It started after all Jews were gone, right?
Yeah, it was like 600, 700, something like that. Right around the finishing of the Talmud.
I think a little before. What?
Yeah.
What? That was really suspicious. Okay, this is really strange. The mother plane. Elijah Muhammad taught his followers about a mother plane or wheel, a UFO that was seen and described in the visions of the prophet Ezekiel.
Okay, wait a second. Muhammad, before Muhammad was Muhammad, his name was Ibrahim, which literally means descendants of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And he was circumcised. He was Jewish, dude. Okay, so we are righter than we expected it initially. I didn't know that. So, yeah, this is gonna be a good stream edit you can work on.
Yeah.
Okay, so W.D. Fart, I don't know if he was Jewish, but he was certainly lying like a Jew. He said he was Jewish at one point, so I wouldn't believe him.
Russian Jew, which is really suspicious.
Yeah. Like, people don't... Back then, people didn't even associate the two, I think. Necessarily.
Mm.
Russian Jew, specifically, not randomly. That was the only specific thing. Yeah, that's weird.
Okay, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which this came from, Fard, told us of a giant mother plane that is made like the universe, spheres within spheres. White people call them UFOs. Ezekiel in the Old Testament saw a wheel that looked like a cloud by day, but a pillar of fire by night. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the wheel was built on the island of on Japan by some of the original scientists. It took $15 billion in gold at that time to build it. It was made of this toughest steel. America does not yet know the composition of the steel used to make an instrument like it. Okay, what is this all about? Is this just something funny that he made up?
What?
The mother plane.
Yeah, this is just something funny that he made up.
This is really, like, cracked out.
Yo, that's crazy.
According to the Anti-Defamation League, the Nation of Islam has maintained a consistent record of anti-Semitism and racism since its founding in the 1930s. Yeah, how do you have such a good record of it? Because it seems everybody else had no idea how it started or what was going on. Mr. ADL. It's the wicked Jews, the false Jews that are promoting lesbianism, homosexuality.
Muhammad birth name Abu al-Qasim Muhammad ibn Abd. What the heck? Why are these guys' names like Abadabadabadu?
That's really good. It's like Scooby Doo.
Abu Yabadabadu. Why is that your name, dude?
Yeah.
Ibn Abd Allah Ibn Abd al-Muttalib Ibn Hashim.
Can you send that in my chat? Hold on. Abu al-Qasim Muhammad ibn Abd al-Ibn Abd al-Lubab ibn Hashim.
Budabali bidaji.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Ibn Abd. What is...
It's literally Abd al-Ibn Abd. I would. It's pretty good.
Okay, so he had a. Okay, so his grandson was called Ibrahim. Okay, so he's technically Jewish. And he was circumcised. He was Jewish. That's crazy. I didn't know that. I never connected those things. I just assumed that Muhammad was a random Syrian or something.
Yeah.
But he's not Syrian. He's Jewish. That's crazy. That just solidifies my previous theory that the warrior prophet was Muhammad, the warrior messiah that the Jews desired. Was Muhammad circumcised? According to some hadiths, Muhammad was born without a foreskin. So this is a lie.
While obviously a lie. What the?
That his grandfather, Abd al-Muttalib, well, again, with these names, man, circumcised him when he was 7 days old. Many of his... Okay, so they got this Jew that was completely separated from Israel for a really long time to be their Messiah. That's a really funny joke God played on Jews. Okay, so Muslims circumcise as well. I knew they circumcise women, but then it's called female genital mutilation. It's not called male genital mutilation.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't do numerology because that's gay and Jewish. yeah, I don't think I have my stuff like monetized on here. I don't know. Because they want me to do taxes. I have to do taxes to be an affiliate. And I'm not finna do that.
No, man,
donate on subscribestar.com/sof. That's the place to go.
Type 3 circumcision of female genital. The amputated parts might be placed in a pouch for the girl to wear. A single hole of 2 to 3 millimeters is left for the passage of urine and menstrual fluid. The girl's legs are tied together, often from hip to ankle. If the remaining hole is too large in the view of the girl's family, the procedure is repeated.
Ow!
The vagina is opened for sexual intercourse for the first time, either by a midwife with a knife or by the woman's husband with his penis. Yeah, this is the normal case, which to Muslims is bizarre.
With a penis?
In some areas, female relatives of the bride and groom might be watching the opening of the vagina.
Why? Huh? Why are you watching? For what purpose? I just want to see it, Smexy. I mean, I'll go no.
Okay, so they circumcise men and women. This is terrible. I think really not okay, man.
What? There are a lot of Islamic prophets. Oh yeah, they have their whole book.
Lasagna.
Garfield, lasagna? Yeah, yeah, it's Destiny. Ah, lasagna.
Ibn Abdullah. Okay, so his grandpa was Jewish and he circumcised him. That's why he hates Jews.
That's a good reason to hate Jews.
Yeah, they cut your penis too.
Straight doing penis stealing right there.
Yeah, the origin of penis theft. A most Quranic verses not provide significant historical context. Unlike Old Testament, it provides extensive. It's weird.
It's sort of convenient for Jews that like we don't walk around with our penises hanging out all everywhere, or that God didn't decide the covenant to be like, oh, just cut off a part of your ear or whatever.
Yeah. It's weird, because we read the Old Testament, we sort of presume, oh yeah, this is what everybody was doing. Like, this is how everybody wrote. That's why it's written like this. This is how everybody wrote. Actually, nobody documented history.
Yeah.
But Jews. Jews are doing a great job at that. Right, I gotta go get coffee right now. Yeah, we should wrap this up, and you should get to editing.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
The editing this stream.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. Damn, chillin', straight chillin'.
Alright, chill away, friend.
Chill away! Alright, peace out!